690 KTSM presents more of the El Paso History Show, featuring your host, documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk, and historian Melissa Sargent. We're live online at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Hey, you know what we're going to do right now? We're going to start El Paso History Show with El Paso History Moment. Produced and written by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. And today, her story is about Pat Garrett. What a coincidence. He's the guy that killed Billy the Kid, we hear. And a man named Tom Powers.
President Teddy Roosevelt fires Pat Garrett. President Roosevelt hired famous gunmen and Western characters for important administrative positions, and Pat Garrett was one such character. Garrett is brought to Roosevelt's attention for the post of El Paso customs collector by mutual friend, future Vice President John Garner. Once appointed, Garrett befriends Coney Island saloon owner and ne'er-do-well Tom Powers. Rumors of gambling, drinking, and carousing soon filter up to Washington. Garrett then brings Powers with him to a Rough Riders convention, where their picture is taken with the president. Roosevelt learns of Powers' background, and many felt this picture was a political embarrassment, and Garrett is not reappointed. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
This El Paso History Moment is brought to you by Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Go online to sargentinventoryservices.com.
Go online to Melissa's website.
I have to tell you that I did the music. Yesterday, I didn't think that history moment was ever going to come to fruition.
Oh.
I got the music for the Billy the Kid Ballet.
What the heck
is that?
That
was by Copeland. Copeland, who did the rodeo.
Did
some
one?
Of the most famous music that you think of the Old West. It was American music done by Aaron Copeland. Beautiful music. But it was the Billy the Kid Ballet.
That's what that was.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff. Well, you know, the History Alliance is a crowd we're talking about now. They're on Facebook.
Yes, they are.
38,000 followers and counting. Call Bernie Sargent, 581-7920 for information. And David Thomas is back here with us, and you have some info on Powers.
Yeah, there's quite an interesting thing. When Garrett was killed by Brazel, and of course there's some other theories, but I don't support him myself. But anyway, he did not have his pistol. They had killed Billy the Kid. He had loaned it to Powers. Powers had it on display in the wall in the Coney Alley Saloon.
In El Paso.
Oh. And so then he continued to keep it. When he committed suicide, I don't know if you know that or not, he was quite ill, and he shot himself on his porch. His house here is in El Paso still stands. But
with that gun?
Then his family, his heirs, tried to sell his gun collection, which included the pistol. They'd killed Billy the Kid. Garrett's widow claimed that it had only been loaned to Powers. She sued him, and she eventually won in court. And so that's how she got the pistol back.
Wow.
But his heirs did sell the other. He had quite a collection.
Amazing.
Where is it now?
Then Jarvis, when Garrett's widow died, his daughter Pauline inherited it, and his son Jarvis, when Pauline died, obtained it. She brought it down here, and it was sold in auction in El Paso, and I believe it's only had one owner since, a man who lives in College Station, and it's been displayed, I think, only once publicly up in Santa Fe when they had the Billy the Kid exhibit up there a few years ago.
Yeah,
pretty
that's
famous
right.
gun there, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, we got David Thomas here. He's the author of four books, Billy the Kid's Grave, the Hermit, which is, say that whole title, Giovanni.
Giovanni Maria de Agostini.
That's the Hermit.
Wonder of the Century.
And then you got The Screen with a Voice about the history of movie theaters.
The movie theaters in Las Cruces, like I mentioned earlier, there's been 21 of them. Quite surprising. Most old timers have only known of two or three. An interesting story. The moving motion pictures was invented in 1896. In 1897, as I show in the book, the very first movies were shown in El Paso. Las Cruces did not get movies until 1906. My question when I discovered that was why? Well, it turns out El Paso had electricity, by 1897. Las Cruces did not get it until 1906.
Those hand pump projectors just didn't work.
No. And, of course, at the time, you know, there was what was known as the War of the Currents. Some of them were AC, some were DC.
That's right. The two major providers.
Yes, Edison.
Of electricity. Edison and
Edison supported DC, and Westinghouse and Tesla supported AC. And, of course, the first electric power based on dams was Niagara Falls, and that won the War of Currents. Las Cruces initially was DC. El Paso was AC from the beginning.
Well, the DC problem was that you had to have a generator about every three blocks.
Yes.
And that's a little, you know, cumbersome. Yes. We got a caller in. I think it's from Melissa here. Let's see. This is Esteban. Good morning. What's on your mind?
Well, something just came up listening to Melissa's promo about Pat Garrett. And what she said was that he had been appointed to an official government position by Teddy Roosevelt. And then he got involved with the owner of the Coney Island. And if I got that correct, who was the original owner of the Coney Island?
I believe it was Tom Powers.
Yeah. Our guest, David Thomas, maybe you know.
Yeah, as far as I know, he was the first owner.
And that was, it was a bar back then. It was not the hot dog stand that we all think of today.
It turned into the hot dog stand.
Yes.
Yeah. Is that your question?
Well, yeah, sort of, because the owner for a long time was Juan Jobe. After he turned it into a hot dog stand, his father, in I guess years, decades ago. Do you know anything about the transfer from that owner you just mentioned to the Jobe?
Well, the original location is gone. So
yeah, it was in downtown El Paso. I want to say on
just north of the park, I think San Jacinto Park.
Yeah. Was it?
Right.
Yeah. The building is long gone.
Oh, that's, yeah. So it's a parking lot now, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about that ownership. Somebody else may know. Maybe they can call us. We'll hear about it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for asking.
You take her easy. We got callers coming in. There's another caller coming in right now. See what they have on their mind. We got to tell people what's going on today. David Thomas is sitting here. But you're going to drive on your way home to Pepe's, which is on your way home.
Yes.
Because you live in Las Cruces.
Yes.
Okay, on your way home at 6761 Donovan is Pepe's restaurant. We're going to go out there and have lunch. You come buy lunch. It's good stuff. Oh, I forgot to mention the Oñate special.
Oh,
the Oñate, three flat tacos, beans and rice, and you get the coleslaw free if you ask them nice.
Yes, yes.
$6.
Do they still have the radio-free salsa?
They have the radio-free salsa sampler. That's easy.
That's an easy one.
But today's Oñate special is three flat tacos for $6. Normally they're like 10, give or take, with all that stuff on the sides. Your drink is extra, but then that's the way they do business. But the Oñate special today is three flat tacos, $6. And David Thomas, drumroll, you have a special on books today.
Yes, I do. Normally my books sell between $14 and $17. I thought, well, if you'll show up for the book signing, I'll sell any of them for $10.
There's your drum roll right there. I heard it go by. Do that again, sir. You're a little louder.
$10. Good deal.
Pepe's today. There you go. Thank you, Sergio. He's good at this. But that we're all going to go out there after the show, and the books that you've got today, you have four books.
Yes.
Okay, these four will be available.
Yes, I call it the Mesilla Valley History Series.
Cool. Billy the Kid's Grave is a big one today. Let's talk a bit about his girlfriends, because that seems to be a big deal in his behavior.
Yes.
It happens to a lot of men, I've noticed.
I believe I've written more about his girlfriends than any of the other historians. The big question was, after he escaped from the Lincoln courthouse jail, why didn't he make for Mexico? His associates, who all basically got away, they left the territory for various places. If he'd gone to Mexico, he would have probably, you know, lived out his life. The reason that most historians believe, and I put forward a lot of new evidence for it in my book, is his girlfriend was in Fort Sumner. So the question becomes, who was his girlfriend? And there's four main candidates, and I discuss them in my book. And eventually I reveal new information on Pauline Maxwell actually being his girlfriend. At the time, there was one contemporary source that suggested she was his girlfriend. Then when Burns came out with his book, The Saga of Billy the Kid, in 1926, she denied it. Oh. And Burns supported her denial in the book. And as a result of that, most historians have said, well, okay, maybe she wasn't. But I learned that Burns's manuscript recently was found. And so I went and I looked at the manuscript. And the manuscript was changed because the publisher was worried about liability. So in the manuscript, he quotes Paulita's sister saying that, yes, She was Billy's girlfriend, and several other sources, and Burns himself comes down on side of she being the girlfriend. So he had to take all that out. So this statement that's in the book that all historians have more or less accepted as the final word turns out not to be.
Oh.
And then I also discovered that
Hello.
Hello. What are
we
testing?
There we are.
Wait off a second.
There we go.
There
you go. We're all back.
We got a bunch of them. We'll give you another one. Okay. That one sounds good now.
But I discovered the sheriff of Mesilla that Billy received two letters. This is previously unknown. Received two letters from Paulita Maxwell while he was in jail in Mesilla, and from Paulita. And so again, that's of extremely strong evidence that she was his girlfriend.
Why argue with this? Just because it can be done?
Well, because there's other possible candidates, and like I say, the main thing is she denied it so strenuously that most historians have accepted that statement.
Huh. What else do we need to know about Billy the Kid in your book? Because we're just scratching the surface, and we're not going to get to all the details you have written out here to talk about. Buy the book, people. $10 today, only today.
Yes.
And otherwise, it's at on Amazon.com.
Yes.
But right today, and they charge you shipping.
Yeah,
You come out to Data Pepe's, you drive yourself there, you get yourself some lunch, and then you get yourself a book for only $10.
That's right.
And the Oñate special for $6. So you could do wonders out there today. Show up. See what happens.
That's right.
But Billy the Kid's Grave is that book. Now, let's talk about the book La Posta.
Yes.
Because that is an unusual, long-standing piece of history in New Mexico.
Yes. The book La Posta is basically a history of Mesilla, and to some extent it's based on the La Posta, but I have a big chapter there on the history of Griggs, and I give all the history of Griggs.
Griggs?
In there, yes.
Griggs Restaurant?
Yes. No, yeah, Griggs. The Griggs that, it was his niece that started the restaurant originally in Mesilla, but he's the one, the Griggs, he was himself a historian and quite a famous individual. I have a big section on him, but...
You know about the connection with Griggs and Pepe's?
Yes.
Okay, because Pepe's has their recipes.
Yes, because they have their recipes.
Pepe's used to work for Mr. Griggs, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
So come out and eat the same food that you're talking about.
Yes, yes.
Interesting. Okay, keep going.
But one of the things I go into is the Mesilla is the most unique city in the United States in this sense. It was founded as an American town, and then became a Mexican town, and it came back into America. So there's a lot of towns that were Mexican towns, for example, that were taken from Mexico.
Treaty problems.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And the story behind this is that when the war ended between Mexico and America, the treaty said that the border between the territory of New Mexico, as it was under Mexico, and Mexico would be the traditional border. And everybody knew where it was. It was approximately where it is now. But there would be a border commission appointed to draw up the official border. And that was the Bartlett Condit Commission.
Bartlett, dude, yes.
Yes. Well, he made a mistake. The map that they attached to the treaty had been drawn in 1825, and it showed El Paso to be 30 miles north of where it is now.
Little problem there.
And everybody knew that the border was close to El Paso. Well, they also knew where El Paso really was, but for some reason Bartlett agreed to this point 30 miles north, and so Mesilla, which had already been founded, was founded in 1850. As soon as Bartlett agreed to that false point, everybody assumed that that territory had gone back into Mexico. Well, after a little bit, the United States began to feel like they had been cheated out of this territory, and they actually started talking about maybe going to war with Mexico again. And meanwhile, Gadsden, who was a private individual and was looking for a railroad route to
there
California.
You go. That's what did it.
And he was an ex-president of a railroad company. He was not an official government, U.S. government official at all. He went down there and negotiated the Gadsden Purchase. He agreed to, Mexico agreed to sell for $15 million. He brought it back to the Congress. The Congress said, no, we're only going to pay $7.5 million. Which they did eventually pay. That brought the Gadsden Purchase into the United States, put the border back to where it is now, put Mesilla back into the United States. So it was founded as an American town, became a Mexican town, and then it came back into the United States.
And how far did that Gadsden Purchase go? We think about it just right here in our
neighborhood. Yeah, it went all the way to Yuma, Arizona.
Okay, so all that was purchased.
Yeah, and it was a big area. And actually, the Congress, Mexico had agreed to sell a little bit more land, and Congress cut it back a little bit. That's partly how they justified only authorizing $7 million. Santa Anna was president at the time. Now, Santa Anna was kind of a three-time loser for
Mexico. Oh, my God.
He was president during the Texas Revolution,
yes.
And they lost Texas. He was president during the Mexican-American War, and Mexico lost that war. And then he was back as president and negotiated the Gadsden Purchase. And within a few weeks, he was out again.
And one of the weird thing about him, right?
He was president like 11?
Yes.
11 times?
Yes. He's got a very interesting autobiography. He wrote his own autobiography. It's quite interesting.
And he also buried his leg separately, right?
It's in Texas.
That is so weird. I mean, he lost his leg in some conflict, I guess.
Yeah, well, Mexico's asked for it back a number of times.
Oh, get a leg on that one.
Well,
man.
And he also, all that money, what was $15 million that he was paid for the land?
No, it was only $7.5 million.
No, it was $15 million. That one I do know.
He just made it $7.5 million.
It was $15 million negotiated, but Congress only paid $7.5 million.
Oh, my.
Mm,
read the book.
No,
I'll
have to go back and look at them, because I saw some recent documents on that they talked about. It was the $15 million. It was a lot of money, but they did pay for it, which a lot of people say they didn't.
As soon as the treaty was signed, the U.S. paid $3.5 million, and Santa Anna got most of that.
Yeah, and what did he spend it on?
And he took it, and then when the treaty was actually ratified, the U.S. paid the other $3 million.
Interesting. Read the book. I mean, is that in your La Posta book?
Yeah, and it's all documented.
See, I wouldn't argue with this guy. He's sitting here documented. Okay, before we get to trivia, we have a caller named Vince. Vince, you're on the radio. Good morning, hey, Vince.
Hey, good morning, guys. Beautiful show.
Thank you.
Hey, Mr. Thomas. Great topic.
Thank you.
I mean, we love Fort Sumner. As a matter of fact, our group, Six Guns Chay Ladies, went out there and did some gunfight reenactments where I played the little kid.
And she's in it right over here.
Yeah, he's one of our members from Six Guns.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
Well, we're in El Paso, and we like to embrace El Paso history. And one of the questions that I had, and that I hadn't heard mentioned, is for this Ermito Giovanni Maria Fernandez de la O Gonzalez. I don't know what his true name is, but
you made up that.
anyways, local. Well, I've heard a lot of stories about, and I even read some accounts that the Ermito that lived up there in the Oregon Mountains, he would set up a signal fire.
Yes.
To the priest down below.
Yes, in fact.
To make sure that he was still alive.
He did that all in his travels in South America, Brazil, Argentina. He did it at Hermit's Peak in Las Vegas, New Mexico. On Friday, he would start a fire, and that's why, and people could see the fire. They knew he was okay. The fire was not there one Friday.
And then they went up there and checked on him.
They found his body, exactly.
Now, they found it. Now, what I had heard is when through his travels that he had offended God somehow.
Oh, no. Nobody does that.
And he wanted to punish himself and show penance. When they did find him, he was wearing a garment of spines on his back.
That's true. That's true. He was wearing that, but that was. He had adopted that many, many years earlier when he was in Europe, and that was pretty common at the time. He also was wearing a hair shirt. I'm the only one that found this account of finding the body, which is in my book. There's all kinds of other stories. Like I say, almost everything that's ever been written or said about him is wrong. And when they went up there, they found that his bed in the cave was under a very thin blanket. He actually had some prickly pear.
Cactus. Oh, my God.
Wow.
And that was pretty common at the time.
Uh-huh. He sleep well tonight? No.
He was a vegetarian. He basically only ate maize, corn, and some greens. And also, I think I prove who killed him. It was a band of Indians that came over from the Sacramento Mountains.
Vince, you need this book. You need this book, Vince.
Yeah, I do. I do need this book.
Can you come up to Pepe's today?
Well, I don't know, man. It's kind of far, and I got some things to do. But I bet you called in for me to talk about their Melquiades Segura there, huh?
Sure.
Sure.
Who I also play with the Six Guns and Shady Ladies.
That's
sometimes.
The guy broken out of the jail.
It's been fed through the ringer and the wash and back again. And then all the oral historians in El Paso has up and died. Like the Sergeant Home Business Inventory Solution says, if you can't remember, everybody... You can't recover.
Hey, there you go. Hey, Vince, well, if you can't make it to lunch today, these books are available at Amazon. How's that?
Awesome.
Thank you.
Look them up.
Thank you very much. Thanks
guys.
A lot.
You awesome take show. Goodbye.
Thank you. We'll see you again. All right, trivia questions. What is it?
Oh, trivia. We're having
trivia.
We got
to do trivia. We got to get this done.
Trivia. Okay. Where was Billy the Kid staying when he was killed?
Oh, my goodness. We know
that's
that.
That's a tough one.
We know that. And what's the other question?
And where in New Mexico was Billy buried? In New Mexico, I'm being
where
repetitive.
In New Mexico was
yes.
Billy
where,
buried? In New Mexico,
where is he buried?
Was he in
New
Mexico when he was buried?
And he's still there, I think.
Oh, where? No, don't tell me. That's the answer to the question. Call us up if you think you know it. You'll get a DVD. Oh, we got some books left.
Or $20 in food to Pepe's in New
Mexico. And what's the phone number?
915-544-5876. 915-544-KTSM.
Hi, I'm Mark Israel, owner of Donut Plant. I used 80,000 points from my Chase Inc. business card to make the latest food craze, the Ripple Donut. Now it's making headlines. NYC's best, raves the New York Post. Donut Plant has outdone itself, says Spoon University. And Grub Street says it will light up your Instagram.
What will you create with your points? Visit chase.com/ink to learn more about Inc. Business Preferred. Chase for business, so you can.
Real business owner compensated for use of his actual statements. Credit cards are issued by Chase Bank USA N.A. Restrictions and limitations apply.
The Bishop, Lady May, Grace. In just a few days, they're all back. On Wednesday, the Greenleaf family returns with a brand new season. From executive producer Oprah Winfrey, this critically acclaimed drama has been hailed as excellent, thoughtful, absorbing, and juicy as hell. You can relive all of season one on Netflix now, just in time for the season premiere event on Wednesday at 10, 9 Central, only on OWN. This season, the Greenleaf Kingdom will be divided.
Message and data rates may apply.
When did American men get so soft? Today's average red-blooded American man has less testosterone than his father, and his father has less testosterone than his father. Before we turn into a country of powder puffs, Force Factor is launching the Man Up America event. We want to send every man in America a complimentary bottle of the breakout supplement taking GNC by storm. Test X 180 Ignite, loaded with free testosterone-boosting manliness. Get your complimentary bottle by texting FUEL to 369-369. During workouts, Test X180 Ignite raises levels of free testosterone in your body to help build lean muscle. Plus, it helps burn fat, fuel sexual desire, and improve performance. Now you can continue to feel like the real men that made this country great. Do yourself a favor. Do America a favor. Text FUEL to 369-369 for your complimentary bottle. That's a complimentary bottle by texting FUEL to 369-369.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-480-1941 and use promo code IHEART to take advantage of 40% off my pillow's 4-pack special. And now when you order your my pillows, Mike is also going to give you free shipping. Don't delay. Order now.
Ending multiple sclerosis for good will take all of us. Walk MS helps us team up with friends, loved ones, and coworkers to change the world for everyone affected by MS. Join us for Walk MS El Paso Saturday, March 25th at the Valle Verde campus of VPCC at 9 a.m. with the walk beginning at 10. Together, we become a powerful force, and with every step we take, every dollar we raise, we're that much closer. Together, we will end MS forever. See you Saturday, March 25th at the Valle Verde campus of VPCC. Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we got full phone lines. Every guy on the phone on hold has a B. Ben, Bob, Bill. And none of them are Bob Bose Bell. That's a different guy completely. But I got something for you here. Next week on the show, Rod White. He's the son of Congressman Richard C. White. And the congressman is no longer with us, but Rod is. So anyway, Rod's going to be our guest to help explain his father's history career, because his dad was into all kinds of things and a congressman. And also coming with him is Bernie Sargent. He portrayed Rod's great-grandfather in a reenactment, Captain White. And apparently Rod saw Bernie do that. And so he knew more about his family after that reenactment than he did before. So those guys are in next week. Oh, March 25th, we've got the whole month of April figured out, but just the rest of March, El Paso graphics artist Nacho Garcia.
Oh, I'm excited. He's a neat guy.
He is.
And he's funny.
He's going to tell tales of working for the El Paso Times as their main editorial page cartoonist. And he has a lot of history in his family. Mm-hmm. His grandfather was a Texas Ranger.
I think it's his great-grandfather or great-great-grandfather.
Oh, okay, but the word great in front of it.
Yeah.
One of his relatives, let's put it that way, was a Texas Ranger at the Salt War in San Elizario. And I said, did he get killed? Not there, but he got shot by an arrow by Victorio the Indian.
Ooh.
And that killed him.
Ow.
Ooh. Anyway, that's history. A lot more history coming. April is full. Got all kinds of things going on here. You got one announcement of a movie.
We had Jay's from Jay's Pixen last week, and he was talking about the movies at the Sunset Film Society at the International Museum of Art. Today, they're going to have The Getaway. Steve McQueen's famous movie that was filmed here in El Paso.
Ally McGraw.
And it's with Ally McGraw, and that's going to be at 2 p.m., and it's free, and it's free parking, and it's a great place to go watch the movies, and they're going to have freshly popped theater popcorn, beverages, candy, and snacks.
You buy that.
You have to buy that. But, hey, for the movie for free, it's a great time to go down and support a great program and get in and see the museum. Stick around and take a look at some of the art that's there also.
This place is fascinating.
That's right. It's down there at 1211 Montana Avenue or at Montana and Brown Street, and go check it out. It's a great day to go in and check it out.
What are the trivia questions here?
The trivia question we have is, where was Billy the Kid staying when he was killed? That's the first one. And then the second one is, where in New Mexico was Billy the Kid buried?
And if the third caller would like to stay on the line,
we'll figure something out.
They can ask us a question.
That's right.
In order of calling here, we go with Ben. Ben, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Hello, Jackson. How are you?
Surviving, senor. And yourself?
I'm doing about the same thing.
That's what we got to do nowadays. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to answer. Well, you know what? While you're talking about The Getaway, that's funny because when I was growing up, I was about 10 years old, and it was filmed. Part of it was filmed right across the street from me. I lived right across from Sunrise Shopping Center out in Northeast, and it was filmed at the Oasis. And so I got to meet Steve McQueen and Ally McGraw.
They had fun
cool.
here. Apparently, the actors had fun wandering around El Paso. They were building I-10 at the time, so there were buildings being torn down, and the movie producers got a hold of a couple and shot the heck of them out of them with guns and stuff. Anyway, go ahead.
Yep. Yeah, it was pretty awesome because they'd film all night long, and they had a couple of chase scenes right there in the parking lot at Sunrise Shopping Center.
Oh, we did that all the time as teenagers. I don't know. You need a movie for that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
All right, what's
but anyway, I was listening to the Billy the Kid history, and Billy the Kid was buried in Fort Sumner, so I wanted to answer that.
Our third base coach says?
Yes.
Indeed, that's yes from David Thomas. So you got that one. And now you get yourself a pick of this stuff here, because we have all the books left. Yes, we do. We have to go out to the car and get a few
books
more.
Books or a DVD
DVDs
or $20 in food Pepe's. To Pepe's and Can You Teal?
You want to sell a DVD to this guy? See what he
says. Yeah, we've got Ghost Stories 3 or 4. We have Tom Lee's El Paso Ghost Celebration of Our Cultures.
It's really tough passing up that good food in Can You Teal, I tell you, because that's one of my favorite restaurants.
It's a good place.
Oh, yeah. So I'll take the $20 at Pepe's.
$20 right. In Pepe's. Okay, fair enough. Hold on here. Shelly will come tell you how to pick it up. Now, you have to come down to the station to pick this up. But today we're out there, and we're going to be come out and join us if you like.
Yeah, come and hang out and buy one of the books.
You can't use this coupon today.
No, not today. You have
but you can come out with us and hang out. David Thomas will be out there. And we're going to also, any book today is $10.
Yes.
$10 today, any book at Pepe's today only.
And they're great books. So
we'll and we have the Yoñate special, $6. For the three flat tacos. So there you go. Enough of that.
All right.
Hold on, Ben.
Well, thank you, Jackson.
Thanks for listening, Ben.
Good to talk to you. Hold on there. We got another caller. We got another question. What's the question that's left for
Bob? The question we have left is, where was Billy the Kid staying when he was killed?
All right, Bob, you got that one nailed, don't you?
Well, he was in Fort Sumner, too, but I knew the answer to the second question. You ended up, that guy gave the answer to the second one.
Okay,
but
what's...
I'll say Fort Sumner. If not, I'll ask you a question.
Okay. Bob's pretty tough sometimes.
Yeah.
Bob, wait a minute now. What?
Yes, Fort Sumner or the Fort Sumner area is correct.
But you'll give it to him?
Sure.
Bob's a nice guy. We should give it to him.
I think so.
All right, Bob, now what's your question for us?
Well, I was going to ask you, what was the first name of Billy the Kid's girlfriend?
Oh, he had four of them, apparently.
Yeah, which one?
Four potentials to pick from.
The one after the research that he decided for sure he knew.
Paulita Maxwell.
There you go.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Now, what are you giving us?
Bob, back in high school, you didn't date Paulita, did you?
Excuse me?
Did you date Paulita back in high school? Just kidding, Bob.
Well, yeah, I did towards the end of her life.
As I was in the same high school he was. All right, Bob, you got yourself a pick of stuff here. What do you want to do?
I want to get the book on La Posta. That's available?
Oh, yes. That's a good one. Yeah. Make sure Bob gets that one. We sign that one.
No. He's supposed to give us something.
Well, no, we answered the question,
no,
right?
No. He answered. Yeah, we answered the questions.
Bob, give us something next week. We got to move on here. Thanks
all
a lot.
Right,
hold on, Shelley.
Stay
online. Shelley, he gets a book. Bob gets a book on La Posta. Bob, thanks for calling, all right?
Thank you.
Hold on. You take care. All right, now we got Bill. Bill, got you on the phone here. You got a question for us. We're out of questions.
Bill could answer the actual where he was killed, where he was located.
Bill, your turn.
Yeah, I was just wondering. Let's see, I had it there and I lost it.
That's the kind of day, huh?
Yeah. He was killed in. I thought he was killed in Alamogordo. He was killed in Fort Sumner.
Yeah.
Yes.
Alamogordo didn't exist at the time.
No, it did not.
It wasn't even a thing to think about. The railroads hadn't even come through.
That's right.
So Alamogordo was a non. But thank you for trying, dude. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Come out to Pepe's today. We'll be out there. Come out and get a book for $10, and then you'll know the answer to all this stuff. All right. We've got to move on and come back in a minute with another mission on how to deal with these books, because it's history in southern New Mexico, part of West Texas going on here. And you lost Bob. Bob, call back. Shelley will give you whatever it was you think you won. Yeah, this is getting tough here. Facebook, what's going on there?
Oh, I was just I'm kind of going back and forth with Barbara. We're bouncing around. She's talking about her house. First house was bricks from the Gateway Hotel on White Oak.
Who knew?
Who knew?
Right, we're going to come back in a moment. Hey, Sergio, you ready? Go to commercial. Thank you very much.
Now is the best time to increase your business's productivity and reduce costs, because Time Warner Cable Business Class is now Spectrum Business. So now you can get 60 meg internet for just $59.99 per month. That's over 10 times faster than 6 meg AT&T DSL for less. Add Spectrum Business Voice and get unlimited long distance and advanced calling features for only $29.99 a month per line. And best of all, now there are no contracts ever. So call 866-285-2389. You'll get faster internet for just $59.99 per month. Advanced voice for only $29.99 a month per line. Over 99.9% network reliability and no contracts. Time Warner Cable Business Class is now Spectrum Business. So call 866-285-2389 today. That's 866-285-2389. Call now. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
If you spend nights waking up to go to the bathroom, can't sit through an entire movie, or just have trouble peeing, you could be suffering from an enlarged prostate. If you're like 50% of adult males, it's frustrating to deal with the urgency, weak stream, or discomfort of urination. And then there's that diminished sex drive. But here's the good news. Now there's a major breakthrough to help get this under control. It's Prozvent, a doctor-formulated blend of natural, high-quality herbs and nutrients specifically designed to promote the overall health of your prostate. And it's guaranteed to provide relief within 30 days with no harmful side effects. Call 800-685-8526 to get a free bottle of Prozvent with your order. Or go to yourfreebottle.com and enter iHeart at checkout. Order today and also get a free bottle of Ultimax, the male enhancement formula for sexual vitality. Just call 800-685-8526 or go to yourfreebottle.com. Take back control with Prozvent.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
HelloFresh delivers recipes and ingredients for a home-cooked meal in around 30 minutes. Like this recipe. Start with a working couple. Add two demanding jobs. Mix all too well. Receive HelloFresh delivery. Trim off temptation to order pizza. Follow step-by-step recipe until, holy ravioli, you can add mushroom ravioli gratin to your resumes. Fist bump and enjoy. Delicious ingredients you'll love to eat. Simple recipes you'll live to cook. HelloFresh. Get cooking. Get $20 off your first delivery plus free shipping at HelloFresh.com/radio.
go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show. And for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs, like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, this week only in El Paso, Inc.
How the plan was changed for the 22-story tower in West El Paso. Would you believe it's now two towers?
I'd believe it. That's in El Paso, Inc. this week. Also, what happened to the rest of the defendants in the iOS case and why some business leaders tried to get leniency for the former CEO?
And why local vocational school will be honored for innovation in education.
That's El Paso Inc. online, elpasoinc.com, and available for home and business delivery by calling.
Call El Paso Inc. at 534-4422 to subscribe.
Sunday on ABC 7 Extra, Dreamers in Detention. Some undocumented immigrants brought in as children are being detained by immigration. Who qualifies to stay and who doesn't? What are the options if they want to remain in the country?
The program is live and interactive, and you can send in your comment or question via email, Facebook, Twitter, or just give them a call. Stephanie Guadian hosts Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on ABC 7.
All right, we got callers galore here. David Thomas is in the house. He's got the book about Billy the Kid's grave. $10 today only for that book out at Pepe's. And the Oñate special is still on. And we have a guy named Alan on the phone. We have a guy named Alan on the radio. Hey, Alan, what's up?
Hey, not much, and just having a good day listening to you guys.
Well, thank
hey,
you.
Hey, I have a question.
Sure.
I have a question for your guest there. When Billy the Kid broke out of jail and he shot Ollinger, I know he used a shotgun.
Yes.
And the big question I have is, any truth to the story that he used dimes loaded in the shells?
Dimes?
And what? Yeah. One of the old movies, like Young Guns or something, I know it's fictionalized a lot.
Yeah.
But when he shot Ollinger, he was loaded with dimes. And I've read in books that Ollinger had loaded the shotgun shell with dimes so it would do more damage. I just wondered if there's any truth to that.
What?
Or what? And the other thing I would like to know, if that shotgun that was used, if it still exists or not.
I don't know if the shotgun still exists or not. I do not believe that the shells were loaded with dimes. I mean, there's not a single contemporaneous source that suggests anything like that.
Wouldn't that plug up the gun? Maybe?
Maybe, I don't know. But Young Guns is probably the least accurate movie ever made about Billy the Kid. As you recall, one of the characters plays the part of Fred Waite, who was part Indian, and he goes on a drug trip and so on in the movie. Well, Fred Waite had a master's degree, a business administration master's degree. He was possibly the most educated man in New Mexico at the time. He was nothing at all like portrayed in the movie. He eventually went on, became a senator in the Indian Nation in Oklahoma, and he was just a week or two from being elected president when he died of a heart attack.
Bummer. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought there might be something. It's possible if he had an old 10-gauge black powder back in which they was common for messengers and law enforcement back in them days, you could probably shoot dimes. But being lightweight metal, I didn't think they'd fly very far.
Well, so, the other thing is, wouldn't it plug up the gun? No?
No, not unless they... A 10-gauge, you could probably dimes would fit through it. It wouldn't be constricted. It probably should, and it's lighter, so... I don't think it would cause any problems on a 10-gauge. It'd have to be at least that size.
Put him in a 410, you're dead, dude. I got news for you.
You couldn't even get the shells in the cartridge. The dimes in the cartridge on a 410.
You bet. All right, well, thanks for ringing up, dude. Thanks for participating.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. Have a good day, sir.
Same to you. You take care. You got another caller stirred up named Bob. Bob, you're on the radio. Hey, morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Surviving, dude. How you been?
Good.
Hey, a couple of questions. One of them was, did you talk at all about Lew Wallace?
No.
Telling the kid if he came in, he'd give him a pardon, and he put it in writing, and then when Billy the Kid came in.
That's a very interesting story. Of course, as you know, Lew Wallace secretly met with Billy the Kid and Lincoln, and he essentially promised him a pardon. He went back on his word on that. The pardon, there was never a written document or anything like that. By the time Billy the Kid was killed, Lew Wallace was no longer governor. We had an acting governor at the time. But
we got to know something about Bob. He rode with Billy the Kid, I think.
Yes.
Is that right, Bob?
No.
No, you. No, I'm different, Bob. I'm sorry, Bob. Go ahead.
One other thing.
He'll get me for that.
When they were trying to get a pardon for Billy the Kid.
Lew Wallace did publish his pardon, and it has a starting date and an ending date, and I go into this in my book, and it said basically that everybody involved in the Lincoln County War, no matter how atrocious the crime, even if it's murder, got a pardon unless they hadn't been indicted already.
All of them.
And only Billy and three of his friends had already been indicted. And so, as a result, there were even people like Dolan that got the pardon, and they committed their murder after the ending date of the pardon, but they still, their lawyer still managed to get them the pardon.
Right.
Go ahead, Bob.
When they had the, they were trying to get Bill Rutherford to give Billy the Kid a pardon years for history's sake.
Oh, yeah.
And I talked to the, it was a female attorney who was, working on it, and Rutherford wouldn't do it. And she told me, she said, if Billy the Kid did every murder that he was accused of, he'd have to be like in three different towns at the same time.
Oh yeah, different kids.
Rutherford told her, "You're probably going to win the lawsuit, but please drop it during my administration. Fair. All you do is embarrass the police in this state."
Well, Bob, thanks for participating today. Can we see you at Pepe's today?
Can't make it, but I wish I could be there.
All right, we'll have a taco on your behalf, okay?
Okay, wish I could be there. Dave is brilliant.
Hey, thank
you, sir.
Thanks for ringing up, Bob. You take care. All right, thank you. Bob Keller, he's been a lot of history, and he's been on all the boards up in Las Cruces, and he knows some of this. All right, we've got David Thomas here for a few more minutes. We're going to take a break now and come back and wrap up whatever you think we missed, because we missed a lot. And the point is, we didn't get to everything you have on your list. Buy the books. That's the point, right?
Yes.
Indeed. And today they're only 10 bucks at Pappy's.
Only
10
bucks.
You better have a trunk full, because I think people are coming.
Well, I'm beginning to worry that I didn't bring enough books.
Well, can you do an IOU and send them?
Yeah.
Home?
Well, now, you can also buy them where?
On Amazon.
On Amazon.com?
Yes.
Perfect. Well, I'll put that on our Facebook page, so if people want to link to that, they can go to it there.
Okay. There's an idea. Wonderful. All right, we're going to look at Facebook here, and otherwise, we're going to take a break. Sergio, are you ready for this? 3, 2, 1, go.
Hi, I'm Mark Israel, owner of Donut Plant. I used 80,000 points for my Chasing Business card to make the latest food craze, the Ripple Donut. Now, it's making headlines. NYC's best, raves the New York Post. Donut Plant has outdone itself, says Spoon University. And Grub Street says it will light up your Instagram.
What will you create with your points? Visit chase.com/ink to learn more about Ink Business Preferred. Chase for business, so you can.
Real business owner compensated for use of his actual statements. Credit cards are issued by Chase Bank USA, N.A. Restrictions and limitations apply.
The Bishop, Lady May, Grace. In just a few days, they're all back. On Wednesday, the Greenleaf family returns with a brand new season. From executive producer Oprah Winfrey, this critically acclaimed drama has been hailed as excellent, thoughtful, absorbing, and juicy as hell. You can relive all of season one on Netflix now, just in time for the season premiere event on Wednesday at 10, 9 Central, only on OWN. This season, the Greenleaf Kingdom will be divided.
If you want to work until you drop, reduce your standard of living in retirement, or lose more of your hard-earned money in the stock market, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to generate a steady, predictable income, I'm talking real wealth and financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. A free report is now available that reveals the money-making secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. It reveals how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and wealth-building power without risking your money in the Wall Street casino. To get your free special report, visit bankonyourself.com. That's bankonyourself.com. yourself.com.
Here's former pro football linebacker Ben Lieber.
BiPro is the highest quality whey protein isolate you can buy. It's 20 power pack grams of pure protein per serving. Never any fillers, sugars, or additives, and it's naturally sweetened. It's what you need to build and maintain muscle. Right now, go to BiProUSA.com, and when you buy one two-pound jar of BiPro, you get a case of BiPro protein water for free with the promo code IHEART. Plus, you get free shipping. It's BiProUSA.com. Buy one two-pound jar, get a case of protein water for free and free shipping with the promo code IHEART. BiPro, lean, clean protein.
Little Caesars, where you can enjoy the new Smokehouse Pizza for only $9. It's real tasty barbecue from Little Caesars, but only here for a limited time. Plus tax at participating locations. Little Caesars.
iHeartRadio just got better with unlimited streaming music. Search and play any song from iHeartRadio's library of millions of tracks. Create playlists of your favorite music. Download your playlist and listen offline. That's right. Start your free 30-day trial now at iHeartRadio.com or open the app. Free radio and unlimited music all in one. That's iHeartRadio.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we've got a couple of minutes left here to talk with David Thomas about all four of his books. Again, today we're going to go to Pepe's for lunch. Come buy lunch, come buy a book. The books are cheap.
Yes.
$10 today. Only today at Pepe's.
Yes.
What a deal. And then there's an Oñate special for $6.
That's right.
Flat taco. I got to tell you one thing. I took a drive yesterday out toward 375 on the east side of the mountain. The poppies are coming out. Not like you could have seen them in the past where it's nothing but yellow. But there are huge patches of poppies out there. So the Poppy Fest is coming up April 1st out at the Museum of Archaeology, 10 to 4 that day. That's 4301 Trans Mountain Road. Free parking at Cohen. They'll bus you in there. They got food trucks coming in there. They got nature tours, archery, live animals, and all that stuff. The info is at the museum, 755-4332. And that's the Poppy Fest. That's going to be April 1st, so there you got that. All right, Melissa, we got this man here for a while. Oh, you're busy typing.
I'm busy on Facebook.
Busy on Facebook over there. But so, David Thomas, what do we need to know? You're talking about all kinds of things. What do you want to summarize here?
Well, I address three myths in the book, and one of them is, was Billy actually washed away when the cemetery was flooded?
You mean the dead Billy?
Yes, and I say no on that, and I have extremely good proof of that. The other is he buried in the right, is the grave in the right location? Have overwhelming evidence for that. But the third one, of course, was Billy really killed?
Oh.
And, you know, there's all the false Billies and so on. But what I've discovered is the very first book that was a history book that was written about Billy the Kid was Burns's The Saga of Billy the Kid, and that came out in 1926.
Is that what made him famous?
That's what made him famous.
That's the book, yeah.
He was kind of forgotten up to that point, although there was starting to be a little bit of interest in him because a lot of the people that knew him were starting to die off, and there was a couple of things appearing in the newspapers and so on. But anyway, the very first reference of any fact of Billy not being killed is in 1926, after the book came out, when this anonymous writer from El Paso...
Oh, one of those, huh?
Writes to the New Mexico Historical Society, and he makes his claim. He says, Billy the Kid was not killed, and I know this because I talked to two of Billy the Kid's closest friends. Now, of course, he didn't name who they were, and he didn't name himself.
And of course, that would be hearsay.
He never surfaced again. But immediately, letters started appearing in the newspapers around the country. Within a couple of years, people were writing in and saying, yeah, I saw him in Chihuahua. He's got a wife and two kids. And all this sort of stuff. And the false claimants who claim to be Billy the Kid all come after this.
It's a brushy guy.
So this is when the meme or this thing starts. Before this, in all the historical documents, all the newspapers, anything that you can possibly find, there's not a shred of anyone ever saying that he wasn't killed. Now, if he wasn't really killed, Pat Garrett and many other people committed felonies. Like I say, Pat Garrett received $7,000. He immediately submitted documents to the government. Those documents were published in the papers. 16 of the people that were present when Billy the Kid was killed are buried in the cemetery along with Billy. There were probably another 40 people there that saw the body. There was a soldier that stayed there that night. He was just passing through. He was interviewed. He says Billy the Kid was killed. The evidence that Billy the Kid was killed is utterly, utterly overwhelming.
So he's still killed?
Yes.
He's still dead?
Yes.
Okay, and so all these other, what was this Brushy guy? Who was that all about?
Well, Brushy came along, and his only evidence is the fact that he seemed to supposedly know a lot about Billy the Kid, but that's not sufficient evidence. The second best claimant is buried in Prescott, Arizona. He never made the claim while he was alive. People have made the claim afterwards that he was involved in that, but there's not a no one supports that theory prior to this anonymous letter coming writer coming forward.
So it goes. So the books again, the Billy the Kid's Grave, that's the one you've just come out with.
Yes,
and it's a serious history of everything about Billy the Kid.
Well, it starts with his conviction in Mesilla. It doesn't cover the previous part of his life. And then everything that's from that point until when he's killed, I cover his funeral. For example, his clothes that he was buried in were paid for by Pat Garrett. And I give you a description of what his clothes were.
Wow.
And then, of course, it covers all these very strange and very interesting incidents that have happened to his grave. And then it gives information about the other people buried in the cemetery.
Billy the Kid. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I'm curious. Why did everybody think that they had a real close relationship?
They did definitely knew each other. The difficulty of knowing is lack of primary evidence. So when I say primary evidence, there's a newspaper article that says Billy was here or this happened or something like that. When you get into oral history, then you're just recounting what people say, and it's very hard to prove that. So they did know each other, and of course Billy the Kid, Garrett had captured Billy the Kid at Stinking Springs, and so from that point on he knew him well and he knew his voice, and so he had no trouble recognizing his voice.
But they didn't have a bromance.
No, they didn't have a bromance.
There's
theories that they had gambled together and things like that, but again, the evidence for that stuff is not hard.
The whole thing about Billy the Kid was that it was a Lincoln County Wars.
Yes.
Give a rundown quickly of what that was.
Basically, it was a two-year war between two sides, the establishment and an upstart side that was led by McSween.
What do you mean establishment?
Establishment was the political leaders and the economic leaders, the bankers, the lawyers.
Oh,
the
bankers,
property,
you now you're established.
Yeah,
I got it.
The
got
property
it.
Owners.
I love guys.
And, of course, McSween was killed. Tunstall, the Englishman, was killed. It's interesting. In the movies, he's always portrayed as this wise old man and a father figure to Billy the Kid, but he was only 26 when he was killed. He was quite young, quite naive.
He was older.
Yeah.
He was older, yes.
And he was English. He really was an innocent abroad because he was incapable of dealing with the violence that the West was filled with.
So these were hired gunfighters, basically, on two sides of this.
That's right.
And it was over, what was the turf they were fighting on?
Well, it started with a false legal suit in which McSween was accused of stealing the money that from the heirs of Fritz, a man named Fritz who had died in Lincoln. And the establishment, you might call the establishment, they had economic control. Most of the money came from selling cattle and feed to the military, and they pretty much controlled that. And so they controlled all the little farmers and all the little ranchers as a result of that.
And there comes the war, comes Billy as a hero.
80 people killed in the war. The only person ever convicted is Billy. He's basically railroaded, as I hope to prove in my book on the trial of Billy the Kid.
Ah, that's next.
Yes.
Ah, I was going to ask you what's next. Now we know. All right, we're going to be out of Pepe's today. Book signing, right. $10 a book. Cheap books today, but they're good books. If you can buy them on Amazon, it's a little bit more, and they charge you for shipping.
And it's great regional history. You know?
Oh, it is. It is.
That's the cool thing.
And today you can get it by the pound out there at Pepe's, 6761 Donovan. I warned them we're coming. Who knows who's going to show up. We've got a couple of people on Facebook say they're coming. All right. Melissa, should we come back next week?
I think should.
We're going to have Richard C. White, congressman, explained by his son, Rod. And I knew the guy as well. And your husband, Bernie's coming in.
That's right.
To explain the early history
I'm
of that
dragging
family.
Dragging him along. Yes.
Good stuff. All the details you need to know on EPHistory.com. Go there for our DVDs as well as what's coming up next on the radio show. Thank you all, everybody. See you next week.
See you
out at Pepe's.
Week.
Yes.
Take care. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening.
listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show, and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso.